Hey guys, it's good to be back on the podcast. It's been a little bit. Today, I'm going to be talking about being carefree in the care of God. There truly is a distinction of following God with your heart and following God with your mind. You know, a lot of times in life, especially as you gain more and more responsibility, carefree is definitely not the idea that comes to mind when people have bills and responsibilities and conflicts and all the things. But God, in His abundance, wants to give you a carefree life. How is that possible? You're going to have to tune into this podcast to hear from some ancient saints who have walked with God by faith, and having so much pressure on them, they still were carefree and full of the joy of the Lord. Welcome to the Kindling Fire. My name is Troy Mangum. God is preaching a sermon to the world through people's lives. People's experience, history, and testimonies all point to some amazing attribute of God that you too can experience. I interview revolutionaries, fire starters, and troublemakers. This podcast is here to be a voice of encouragement in your life. A voice that says, with God you can, and with God you will step into the abundant life. So let's get rolling. Hey, I want to start out this podcast by reading the Bible to you. This is actually in the Passion Translation, and I love the translation of this particular verse. It's Luke 12, 22 and 24. And Jesus taught His disciples saying, "Listen to me. Never let anxiety enter your hearts. Never worry about any of your needs, such as food or clothing. For your life is infinitely more than just the food you eat or the clothing you wear. Take the carefree birds as your example. Do you ever see them worry? They neither grow their own food or put it in a storehouse for later. Yet God takes care of each one of them, feeding each of them out of the abundance of His love and goodness. Isn't your life more important to God than a bird? Be carefree in the care of God." You know, I love that translation because it's just, you know, take the carefree birds as your example. You know, just to kind of give you a little bit of a reason for this show is that, you know, of late, and so probably in the last year, you know, I've really had kind of a transition, I guess is the best way to put it, is that, you know, I kind of went on a bit of a rant about a year ago about some of the ways that I was interacting with God and kind of my frustrations. And I think that as a result, a lot of times I kind of moved away from really connecting with God at a deeper heart level. Now I was, you know, definitely kind of reading the Bible and all of that, but it felt a little bit more cerebral and less maybe visceral or at a heart level. And recently I was reading the Bible and just kind of recommitting myself to, you know, really putting God first. You know, on a practical level, I'd be like, I get up, I'll go work out, and I'll you know, read the Bible and pray as I have time in a little bit later. And that really was not the tradition of my practice. Like, I really was going to God first, and then out of that, I would live, you know, whatever would come. And so I was just kind of like, quote, squeezing God in, and really did take a toll. And one of the ways that it took a toll is that I started to gain more and more sort of weight on my heart. And the Lord came for a rescue for me through a great verse in Luke 21:34. And this is what it says. Jesus was talking about the end times. And He said, "Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Or that day will come on you suddenly like a trap." And that's talking about the second coming of Christ. And just, you know, dissipation is a bit of a religious word. It basically means overindulgence in sensual things. So this could be sexual or lust or any other kind of overindulgence of, like, I just want the, you know, sensual experiences constantly over and over again. I want to party all the time. I want to do things all the time. And then drunkenness is clear, and then the anxieties of life. And that's really where the Lord kind of put His finger on me and basically said, your heart is weighed down with anxieties of life. Well, one of the anxieties of life that I was weighed down with is money. And that's a very common concern for a lot of people. And it was not that I was necessarily lacking, but I had a lot of anxieties about what was coming and how are we going to do this and how are we going to do that and this debt and this car breaks and this situation. And like it, you know, if you know that verse, there's a verse in Song of Solomon talking about the little foxes stealing the grapes out of the vineyard. It felt like my whole life was getting beleaguered by these little concerns. You know, like, oh no, there's a light on my car again. Now, how am I going to pay for that? And it was just like a constant of that. And I was anything but carefree in the care of God. And you know, what's really interesting about the verse I read before in Luke 12 is it talks about birds not storing for later. You know, one of the key areas that I was worried about, like, how can I set aside this money so when this bad thing happens or when this bad thing happens or how are we going to pay for that? I was like hoarding to kind of like protect myself. And God is saying, be carefree. I'm going to provide. Do you see this bird storing? You don't need to store. I'll take care of you. Now, that might not sound like, quote, good financial advice, but one of the things that was really interesting is not only was God kind of, challenging me with the Bible, I started to really dig into some great saints from the 1800s and the early 1900s, a guy named George Mueller, a guy named Reese Howell, and a guy named Hudson Taylor, and I'll tell you about them in a moment. But one of the areas that one of these people talked about was walking by faith as it relates to finances. And I was getting so worked up about how I was going to meet a need 3 months from now, 4 months from now, when God had provided what I needed today. And I was so worried that I needed to not meet the needs today because I'm afraid of something that's 4 months away. And these are the kind of things that were weighing me down. It's very common. I don't think I'm unique in that. And he had this principle, a guy named Reese Howell, he had this principle that said, basically, first need, first claim. And how this looked like would be he would have a financial need for his school. And I'll kind of get into who these characters were and all this other stuff. But if there was a need that presented itself before the financial need of the school, he would say, first need, first claim. I will meet the need for this with the money I have in hand, trusting that the Lord knows about what I need tomorrow or the next day, and he will provide that in another way. Now that, if you've never done that, that will stretch your faith. I mean, another example of doing this kind of thing is that I've heard stories, I haven't been a part of this, but I've heard stories within the YWAM community where they would have a giving day, and as a part of that, they would pray. They're all missionaries, they all live by faith, they're all being supported by others, and they would receive a financial gift, and they would say, Lord, even though I have a need, is this financial gift for me, or is this financial gift for someone else? Now think about the faith that it takes to have a need and receive money that seems to meet the need, but the Lord says, I want you to give that money away. I'll provide you for you in another way. Instead of grasping onto that money until your blood's coming out of your fist because you're holding on so tightly and so afraid because now you've got it in hand. You know, I don't want to give it away. What if God doesn't provide? And so these are the kind of things that will really weigh a heart down. And what's so interesting is you can read in the Bible, do not worry. And in your mind, you can say, okay, I'm going to not worry. But your heart is filled with this. This is why that verse was talking about your heart being weighed down with the anxieties of life. It wasn't a mental ascent. It was a heart issue, and it was a trust issue. And so when the Lord kind of helped convict me of these kind of things that were weighing, that I had allowed my heart to be weighed down with, God refreshed my spirit and renewed me. You know, there really is a difference between following God with your heart, with a whole heart, and your mind. My mind was following God. I was reading scriptures. I was being moral. I was doing good and all the things. but my heart was weighed down the whole time. And it wasn't until God shined a light on my heart in my lack of faith in my sin that I repented and that I came free, that I actually had the effervescent life, the abundant life that God talks about. Jesus talks about in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. So many times I think our experience with God is so intellectual and we're like, where is this feeling of abundance? Where is this freedom? Where is this carefreeness? And you know, even with the idea that you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you come like a little child. I don't know that reference, but Jesus said that. You know, there is a carefreeness about children. They don't seem to be concerned about the mortgage. They don't seem to be concerned about insurance. They don't seem to be concerned about a lot of things. And that's because they're children. But there is a childlikeness that God wants to give us, that God can give us, that gives us an ability to be carefree. Now think about if you were free enough to receive something and be able to give it to someone else, first need, first claim, trusting the God, my Father in heaven, will see, you know, provide for me. And I don't have the reference here, but I'll give you this verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, for your Father in heaven knows that you need of these things. You know, the whole premise of not being able to worry is your Father in heaven knows that you need these things. Now, do you trust that your Father in heaven knows that you need these things? Now, let me get into some of these saints because they're so great to see like how this works out in practicality. So George Mueller, I read a book called The Autobiography of George Mueller. He was in the 1800s, like mid-1800s to late 1800s, and he was a man who basically by faith would follow God wherever he called him to follow him, and he called him into starting a small home for orphans. But his whole premise of his whole ministry was, I will never tell you, donor, or church, or whomever, other Christian, what I financially need to take care of these orphans, but I will pray, I will intercede, I will let my needs be known to God, and He will provide. And so his life, for 40 years plus, he went from a group of about 30 orphans in a home to 1,000 orphans, properties, buildings, staff, all this stuff, all by never allowing anyone knowing his need. He would only pray that God would provide it, and God would provide every single day. And they would go down to zero, God would provide the next day. Go down to zero, God would provide the next day. It was very rare that he had an abundance of money that rode him for several months. And the autobiography is literally like a financial ledger day by day by day. I received, you know, it's all in British. So I received a pound from this lady. I received 2 pounds from this lady. It's like account by account to make it tangibly clear that God's the only one that was providing for him. And what was so powerful is there was a contemporary at the time, a guy named Hudson Taylor. He started the China Inland Mission. He had a burden for China at the time, what only had missionaries at the periphery or on the edge near the coast. And there were no missionaries in the interior of China because it was so dangerous and there was wars at the time. And nobody would fund him to go. Nobody would support him to go. And so he, by faith, started China Inland Mission and went into the interior of China. And there will be times when he was quote, rejected by the missionary societies at the time. He was on his own and he had no access to communications to be able to get back to his donors, hey, I need help, or I whatever. And George Mueller would be praying, And the Lord would say, I want you to give some X amount of dollars to Hudson Taylor, and it would arrive just when he needed it. And it was only the Lord telling George Mueller in prayer and Hudson asking God in prayer. And those things were happening simultaneously, like months apart, because it took so long for money to get to China. Like, these are the kind of things that are incredible from a life of faith. And they were all under a tremendous amount of responsibility, yet they were carefree. I'll give you one example for Hudson Taylor as an example of this. So he went to Australia later in his life, and he stayed with a pastor that was a pastor of 50 people. And this is in his book, Spiritual Secrets of Hudson Taylor. This is detailed. And the pastor was a pastor of 50 people, and Hudson Taylor was staying with him, doing ministry in the country or letting people know about China Inland Mission. And he receives notice that one of the missionaries related to the mission had been killed, and or a family had been killed. And this was not uncommon in the China Inland Mission. In fact, Hudson Taylor had lost two children and his wife at the cost of being a missionary in China. And the day he received that news, the pastor records him singing a hymn. And the hymn was Jesus, I'm Resting. And I'm going to give you the lyrics of this hymn of what he was singing. It says, Jesus, I'm resting, resting in the joy of all of what thou art. I'm finding the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by the transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I'm resting in the joy of what thou art. And I'm finding the greatness of thy loving heart. And he was singing that on the day that he found the news that some of the missionaries had been killed. Now, I mean, think about the carefreeness of that, because logically, that makes no sense. But if a heart is trusting like a little bird in the care and being carefree in the care of God, and this hymn is talking about gazing upon Jesus and learning of the greatness of Jesus's and the Father's loving heart, he could sing in the midst of that. And I'll tell you about one other person, and that's Rhys Howell. So this was, he wrote a book called The Intercessor that details how he also lived a life of faith and ended up starting the first Bible school in England. And this was in the early 1900s. Maybe it's not the first Bible school, but definitely the first Bible school by faith. He was greatly influenced by the writings of George Mueller. He lived kind of in the 1920s, 1930s, and 1940s. And it talks about how he relied through intercession on God and did the same thing that George Mueller did, that he only brought his needs to God. Now, how does this, you know, you may not be running Christian schools, missionary societies, or orphanages, but you are maybe just running your life. Think about that when it comes to your needs and what God knows that you need. You know, do you truly trust him, or is your heart, have you not guarded your heart, and your heart is weighed down by the anxieties of life? You know, another verse that I'll throw out is Proverbs 4, I want to say it's 4:7, but it may be 4:10 or 4:12, but it's in Proverbs 4. And it says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. You know, your heart matters to God. And out of your heart, you know, it talked about, Jesus said, if you were thirsty, come unto me. And you will not only, he said, come unto me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you drink. And out of you will come rivers of living water. That's your heart. You know, when it says, be on your guard and guard your heart above all else, guard your heart. And out of you, out of it comes the wellspring of life. You know, that's the life that God wants us to live, is a life that comes out of the heart. It's a carefree life, and it's not bound by the rules of, I need this, I have this, I need this. You know, like all the anxieties of life, of all the things you're concerned about whatever it is in your life, relationships and children or marriage or singleness or weight or work or money or whatever. There's so many things we can be anxious about. But Jesus said, be on guard. And he told them to be on guard that their heart would not get weighed down because he's coming soon. And so we always need to be in a posture of carefreeness. And so, because that's where we experience God the most, and that's our place of trust. And so, what I want to do is just kind of sort of walk through some of George Mueller, Reese Howells, and Hudson Taylor's quotes, because they are some of the most profound, life-backed, life-giving words of Christians who have put the Bible to the test. And I'll just start here, and this is with Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor was realizing that the call that God had given him, his faith was not strong enough. He did not have enough faith to be able to do what he did and to step into these great trials to bring the gospel to inland China. But there was a man named Mithner McCarthy in his life, and he told him this, and he says, how do you get your faith strengthened? He said, you don't get your faith strengthened by striving after faith, but by resting on the faithful one. And that's what we're talking about, being carefree in the care of God, is resting on the faithful one. And as you rest in his care, your faith will grow. But again, your faith will not, it won't be a mental ascent, it will be a heart posture. And that's, you know, hopefully I'm getting across how critical that is. And then George Mueller here is quoting, and he basically talks about people that say, quote unquote, they trust God, but then their actions prove otherwise. And this is the quote. And it says, many individuals profess they trust in God, but they take every opportunity where they either directly or indirectly expose their need to seek to induce people to help them. It ill agrees with trust in God to expose our wants and needs for the sake of inducing people to help us. Effectively, that's manipulation, side comment. God will take us at our word. If we say we trust in him, he will try if we really do so. And I've talked about testing a lot on this podcast. God will try it. I'm going to give you an example. Well, let me give you two scriptures and I'll give you an example. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will set your path straight. And then James 2, 18 talks about, you say you have faith, but I will show you my faith by what I do. God, that last part of George Mueller's quote where it says, God will take you at your word and he will really test you to see if you really do trust him. I'll give you an example. So recently, when God kind of convicted me about how weighed down I was in the anxieties of life, I was free. I felt so free. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go work out. As soon as I get in the car, a light comes on and all of a sudden I'm starting to spin because I just spent thousands of dollars for that light to go off. And I'm like, and the Lord was like, don't, you know, be on guard. That is what that anxiety and that fear of something that is, you know, going to have to deal with at some point is trying to rob you. That little fox is trying to rob you. And immediately I was like, okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. And then later on, like within an hour, you know, I get my mind is reeling about financial needs that we're going to have, like, you know, 5 months from now. And the Lord is like, why are you thinking about this? This is the stuff that's been consuming your life. And my wife obviously complains as well, because she's just like, this is all you want to talk about. Look, listen to people that love you. If you tend to be only talking about all these problems and all these things that are going on, you know, where is your faith? Are you carefree in the care of God? Do you even believe you're in the care of God? You know, these are like really critical questions to ask, and they're really heart level questions. So let me keep going. There's such good quotes I'm going to share with you guys. Here's another one. So again, thinking about George Mueller and all the responsibilities they had of mouths to feed and staffs to pay for and lights to keep on for 1,000 people, you know, and only asking God for provision. You know, he says this, he said, "The primary business I must attend to every single day is the fellowship with the Lord. The first concern is not how much I will serve the Lord, I might serve the Lord, or how my inner man, but how my inner man might be nourished. I may share the truth with the unconverted. I may try to encourage believers. I may relieve the distressed, or I may in ways seek to behave as a child of God. Yet, not being happy in the Lord and not being nourished and strengthened in my inner man day by day will result in this work being done in the wrong spirit." I mean, think about that, guys. Like, think about your family and what you do. Like, is what you're doing in the right spirit? You need that renewing by the Spirit of God to keep that carefreeness. I'll give you another example. So this is Norman Grubb actually wrote the book, The Intercessor, about Rees Howell. And it's very similar to this and to the quote I shared before. And this is what he says. "When we pray in a normal way, we hope that we have what we ask the Lord for. And if we receive it, it is a gift of faith to us. We have no power or authority to say that we will always get the same answer every time. Such is the gifts of faith. But when intercession gains the place of faith in a certain realm, they have entered into the grace of faith that is gained in the place of intercession." Now, that might seem a little bit like, what are we talking about? It's talking about being able to be confident when we pray that God will do it. And there's some great examples, and I'll give you some quotes later, about, well, what if God doesn't give you the very thing that you're asking for? Then what? You still trust the Lord. Let me see if I can find that really quick. I'll get to it later. So give me some other quotes from Rees Howell. So this is, he said, with the Lord, we can only lead others as far as we ourselves are willing to go. And here's a similar quote. "There is a golden rule in the life of faith. The Christian can never prevail upon God to move others to give larger sums of money towards God's work than he himself has either given or proved that he is willing to give if he had the power to do so." And this is, again, kind of like God taking us at his word. A lot of times, and maybe that's more applied to people that are living by faith and living by donations, but it can be applied to any part of life. In that, a lot of times we want things to happen, but we're not willing to do what needs to be done to make those happen. So if there's a need and we have means, one of the things that was very common for Rees Howell's staff as well as George Mueller's staff is they would give all they had when there was none. That was one of the ways God provided. And so it wasn't always God's coming from an outside source, but they were using the means they had. And this is convicting to me because sometimes I think, well, there actually is more means for me to meet different needs than I have, but I want to, quote, have a comfortable life. And if I do that, then God won't do anything for me. And I just bring everything down to zero. And that's not faith. That's not God providing and trusting. So let me give you a couple more quotes. And this is so great. This is Rees Howell. And he basically says, "If there's going to be a day of prayer, it ought to be a day of victory, a day of moving God." You know, one of the wonderful things about walking with Jesus is that you can gain confidence in the unseen. You can gain confidence in the character and the heart of God. And prayer is not just wishful, useless words, but it truly can be something that brings victory and moves God. But I will say by experience, and I'll give this to you guys for free, is that it does require patience. A lot of times we love to pray and it instantly be answered. But a lot of times we have to be patient and we present it to the Lord and be patient and wait for the Lord, and He will do it. Another perspective is that, and this kind of gets into like, well, what if it doesn't happen like I want it to? Again, another quote from Rees Howell: apparent failure may only be a stepping stone to greater victory. Say it again. Apparent failure may only be a stepping stone to greater victory. And, you know, on a practical note, it could be, I would love to get this job and they said they didn't want me. And then you get a better job, you know, but in the disappointment of not getting that thing that you prayed for and wanted for, and whatever that is, getting into that college, getting whatever it is you want, the Lord may be giving you something greater, and you have to trust His heart, even with the no's. Another area is that Rees Howell, and he's talking about the walk of faith and how sometimes it can be like there's detours in it. And you're like, but wait, I was praying for this and I'm way over here in this cornfield. Like, how does that work? And this is what he said. He said, you are always getting a death on a point that isn't essential and then receiving a better thing for it. And so by experience, he was saying that a lot of times he might be praying for a certain thing or want a certain thing. And I think in this case, it was property. This is ideal. This would be great. I'd love this property. Why can't, you know, I'd love to move the Bible school in this school. And then it would be cut off and there would be no property and it would be done. And his point was, you get a death on things that isn't essential because God wants to give you something better. You know, that is really, really true. And in his case, it would be, you know, he was looking at one piece of property and then it totally fell through. There was no leads, no nothing. And then something miraculously would open up and it would be perfect for what he needed and even better. And that's also was a testimony of George Mueller in many, many cases, as well as Hudson Taylor. Let me give you another quote. He regarded, and this is kind of, again, the maturity of walking by faith, being carefree. The reason I'm talking about faith and carefreeness is you can't be carefree if you have no faith. It just will not, you will choose the weightiness of the anxieties of all the life and living through your mind and things not making sense and you just being deliberating and just mulling of it over and over again. Like, the life of faith is a life that comes out of the heart. The life of faith is something that is lived from the heart. And so anyway, let me see if I can. Yeah, here we go. And it says, he regarded, this is Rees Howell again, he regarded a temporary failure en route to the place of faith, not as a failure, but as a stepping stone. Like a climber who scales the peaks thinking it's the summit, only to find higher peaks beyond, and only to find his determination increased to reach it. I love that last part. Like a climber who scales the peaks thinking it's the summit, only to find higher peaks beyond, and only to find his determination is increased to reach the higher peaks. And that's very much how the Lord works with us. And we don't want to be we can't be going to the higher peaks if we're always bogged down with the anxieties of life, or we've given up faith and we've given ourselves over to just wanting sensual pleasures all the time. And it is not, you will not grow in faith that way. So here's another quote by Rees Howell. I think it's so good. It's talk about not being mastered by anything. It is while, this is so great, and this just talks about desire, and I've definitely experienced this with prayer. And it says, it is while you still want a thing, you can't get your mind off of it. When you have risen above it, God gives it back to you, but then you are out of its grips. I'll read that again because it's so good. It is while you still want a thing, you can't get your mind off of it. When you have risen above it, He will give it back to you, but then you are out of its grips. God's intention for you is to generously give, but He does not want His gifts and His provision and whatever the abundant life looks like for you that He wants to provide for you to be to capture hold of you. Right? He wants you to be carefree and be able to be free to enjoy all of God's blessings, but not it take a grip of you like you could never do without it. And this could be a car, a jet ski, a boat, a house, a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or some situation I could never, ever do without it. In God, you can be free. And whatever the situation, you can still have a walk with God and not be gripped by the things that God had provided. So let me give you the last thing I want to share with you is George Mueller. And he was talking about, well, how do you actually experience this carefree life? How do you actually grow your faith? And he just gives us four very clear steps of how God is, through many years, grew his faith to do what he could do. And I'll just go through them for you. One, James 1:17 says, every good gift is from the Lord. And he said that faith is a good gift. And so we should ask God to give us more faith. Just very plain and simple. It's a good gift, and we should ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. The next one is the careful reading and meditation on the Bible to become more familiar with the nature and the character of God, the kindness of God, the wisdom of God, the loving nature of God, his trustworthiness, his tenderness, how his power is used to help those who belong to him. Say that again, how his power is used to help those that belong to him. He has proven himself in all these things and many stories in the Bible. So it talks about God's proving character in all these different ways, in all the different stories in the Bible and how he interacted with people. So it's not just a cursory reading of the word. It's a meditation on what does this say about the character of God? What does this say about his nature? And really, at a heart level, what does it mean about my relationship with God and how he might interact with me or my family or whomever I love? Here's the third one. We seek to keep an upright heart and not indulge in sin. How can we grow in God while we're continually grieving him? Now, I will say this. This is willful sin. And I know that there's maybe people that are listening to this show that have been beleaguered by repetitive sins that they can't seem to break free of. And I just want to tell you that God can break you free. I've been beleaguered by repetitive sins in my life, and God set me free. If your heart is repentive and you are willing to suffer and move away from that thing, God will set you free. There's a great verse, and I don't have the reference, but God used it for me when he was setting me free from beleaguered sins. And it says, we should take the same attitude as Christ. For he who suffered in his body is done with sin. A lot of times we've given our heart over to over-sensuality or good feelings all the time, and we're unwilling to suffer, and therefore we can't be free. But we should take that same attitude of Christ that says he who suffers in his body, which Christ did, is done with sin. If you're willing to suffer, God will set you free. He'll give you the strength to overcome it. That may be that one mountain, but then you'll get the renewed strength to get to that next peak and that next peak. So that's just a little encouragement for you guys. So here's another quote from him. George Mueller says, for faith, and this is basically what I said, and he says it so much more eloquently. It says, for faith, for every fresh trial of it and ever increasing, for faith, with every fresh trial of it, either increases by trusting God and thus getting help, or it decreases by not trusting God. Then there is less and less power than looking simply and directly at God. Then a habit of self-dependence is born. And it's basically meaning that when you're fit with the challenge, if you respond in faith, your faith will increase, and then it will increase and increase and increase as God continues to provide opportunities to trust him. But if you're faced with that challenge and you say, I will take it into my own hands, or I will intellectually or logically try to figure this out and not look to my Father who takes care of the birds of the air, who don't store, you know, away for stuff and hoard things away because they're so afraid, but God is providing them for day and day. I will look to my provider, my God, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And so here's the last thing, and I'll kind of leave you with this. And George Mueller saying, here's the fourth thing of how to grow your faith. If we desire to strengthen our faith, we should not shrink from the opportunities for our faith to be tried and tested, because through the trial, it will be strengthened. Rely on God alone regarding everything in your life. And from this position, you will see more of God's help and He will strengthen your faith. So a lot of times at the end of the day, if you're asking for it, if you're really meditating on the character of God revealed in Scripture, if you are not indulging in willful sin, like rebellious sin, and even if you do fall and fall again, that you're turning back to God in repentance and confession, and even helping, you know, including others so it's not secret, right? That's wisdom right there, so that you can be free and walk in the light. That's walking in the light as He is in the light, by the way. And then that fourth area is don't shrink back from trial. So if you want to be carefree, if you want to be carefree in the care of God, a lot of times to guard our heart, God is going to have to put us through a process where we have to trust Him. And that kind of means it might be a trial or a difficulty, but I tell you, what God is trying to do through for you through that situation is grow you, mature you, bring you into a carefree place. And I'm telling you, once you start having testimonies of, man, look what God got us through. I didn't think we could get through that. Look what God got us through. You'll start to live this carefree life. That God is a provider, God will provide. And even though it may not always look exactly like I think it should, or I might get disappointed, God's still faithful. He's going to open up another opportunity. Guys, it's been so great. Hopefully that was helpful for you. Hopefully that was encouraging to you. I want to deeply encourage you, get the autobiography of George Mueller, get the book, The Intercessor by Rees Howell, and get Spiritual Secrets of Hudson Taylor. Those books will rock you and give you such a grounding to encourage you that of what's possible in God through faith. So love you guys. Can't wait to see you next time.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. I am doing a YouTube channel, so we do video formats of these podcasts, and we'd love to have you look there. Okay guys, until next time, be awesome.